take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, December 11th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Exciting things are afoot in the world of marijuana politics, and we are here to bring them to you as we always are, every weekday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, right here on 420radio.org and on tuneinradio.com. We are back up on TuneIn. We fixed our technical glitches. So if you want to catch our audio-only live streaming, no advertiser feed, you can get that at TuneIn Radio. Our short link is rad-r.us/420TuneIn. So you can check that out. We'll also post that link in our chat room over the break if you want to connect to us through TuneIn. We're also available on Ustream. If you have the Ustream app on your phone, you can catch our video feed live and on the go. So check that out. And remember, it's all made possible thanks to our sponsors and thanks to you, the VIP supporters of 420 Radio. If you've got a few extra bucks in your pocket every month and you'd like to send it our way to help keep paying the bandwidth and all the other expenses associated with the travel and the reporting and the analysis and research we do at 420 Radio and the Russ Melville Show, just go online to 420radio.org/donate. You can make a one-time donation or a regular monthly VIP subscription using PayPal or your credit card. And if you're a business that would like to advertise, boy, you want to get in on this as soon as you can, because 2015 is going to be a stellar year for the Russ Melville Show and 420 Radio. We are booked all already at 11 different cannabis community events throughout the year of 2015, including the 6 domestic U.S. High Times Cannabis Cups. So check that out at 420radio.org/advertise. Now, on the show today, we got a very special guest joining us for a cannabis community chat. This one could be a really interesting talk. We're visiting with Matthew Scott Kuhlhorn. He's with a group called Thrive Community and Youth Programs. He's a certified prevention specialist, a drug rehabber, if you will, who is pro-marijuana legalization. I'm not exactly sure how to start this interview. Someone who's into the drug rehab side of things, but is also pro-legalization. It'll be an interesting conversation taking place at 1:30 in our cannabis community chat. Also on the show today, we'll have time for a radical rant. You know, they're talking about that so-called Cromnibus bill out there in Washington, D.C., the $1 trillion spending package that must be passed by midnight tonight, or else they'll shut down the government. Well, I'm going to think about that. What would be so bad about shutting down this government, considering what we've learned about it over the past year? Stay tuned in the Radical Rant. We'll talk about that. Also on the show today, we're going to go behind the headlines and take a look at an amazing memo that has come out today from the U.S. Department of Justice, affirming the right of the sovereign Native American nations of this country to move forward with marijuana legalization plans, if they so choose, without interference from the federal government. We'll give you the details on that in our behind the headlines segment that takes place right after the 420 Radio News. We've also got some drug war data mining we're going to take a look at. The National Commission on State Legislatures and their information on hemp states and the states that are pushing drug testing for welfare. But first, we start with the 420 Radio News, and in the headlines today, we'll talk about that Cromnibus bill, the memo for Native Americans to begin their legalization plans. Tommy Chong's got plans to be the Walmart of weed. We got a sad story of a mom who may be busted and sent to prison for providing cannabis oil to her sick son, and 2 important anniversaries to celebrate this week. All of that coming up on a jam-packed Russ Melville Show. Stay tuned for that and Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio, where we take your calls at 971-533-7111. The news is next in less than 90 seconds. Stay tuned.
You're tuned into the Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization. Five of the last nine major party candidates to run for president, three of the last nine vice presidential candidates, and the last three two-term presidents have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House. This is the Russ Belville Show. Cannabis Cure TV, replaying Thursdays at 12 Pacific on 420radio.org.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Normal. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is your 420 Radio News for Thursday, December 11th, 2014. Tonight at midnight Eastern is the deadline for passing the $1 trillion government spending bill. The so-called Cromnibus bill contains many amendments, including one to prevent Washington, D.C. legalization from being enacted, and another that may undo Washington, D.C. decriminalization. But there are also amendments to ban the federal government from interfering with state-authorized medical marijuana and industrial hemp laws. Other political controversies stuffed in the bill include requiring all Washington, D.C. birth control regulation to include a conscience clause, allowing doctors and pharmacists with religious objections to avoid providing certain prescriptions and services for women, forever banning Washington, D.C. from fighting to have a voting representative in Congress, and removing the protections enacted in 2008 against federally insured derivatives trading by big Wall Street banks. Changes and negotiations are still taking place at this hour in an effort to prevent a government shutdown. The Justice Department today told U.S. attorneys not to prevent Native Americans from growing or selling marijuana on their sovereign lands, even in states that ban the practice. The new guidance, released in a memorandum, will be implemented on a case-by-case basis, and tribes must still follow federal guidelines, said Timothy Purdon, the U.S. Attorney for North Dakota and the chairman of the Attorney General's Subcommittee on Native American Issues. It remains to be seen how many reservations will take advantage of the policy. Many tribes are opposed to legalizing pot on their lands, and federal officials will continue to enforce the law in those areas if requested. The policy comes on the heels of the 2013 Justice Department decision to stop most federal prosecutions in states that have legalized the possession or sale of pot. Colorado, Washington, Oregon, and Alaska have all moved to legalize marijuana. Tommy Chong, the 76-year-old veteran of stoner comedy duo Cheech and Chong, has lent his endorsement to several pot-related products already. His Chong Star brand cannabis blend debuts in Colorado next week. There's hemp-infused Chong water in the works, and he's also getting buzz for his line of clothing wipes that remove the telltale pot reek. More products bearing Chong's likeness are on the way, he says, possibly including a Chong Rolla joint rolling machine that'll make his signature giant-size spliffs. Quote, I had to go through some trials and tribulations, Chong says, but now I'm going to be the Sam Walton of pot, end quote, referring to the late Walmart founder. Next, he envisions partnering with Marisol Therapeutics in Pueblo, Colorado, to spread Chong Star nationwide as legalization spreads, which Chong expects to happen rapidly. Quote, it's a tsunami that cannot be stopped, he says. I predict within 2 years it'll be totally legal, and then the whole rest of the world will fall in line, and we'll be the Starbucks of pot eventually, end quote. A mother of two may be sent to jail for 2 years for attempting to treat her son's seizures with cannabis oil. Angela Brown is charged with transporting the oil from Colorado to Minnesota. Quote, we chose to treat him with medicinal cannabis oil, which saved his life after all doctors failed him, end quote, Brown said. Her son, Trey Brown, suffered a traumatic brain injury 3 years ago after being hit by a baseball. In response to his regular seizures, a doctor suggested the family travel to Colorado to purchase cannabis oil. The treatment appears to be a success. That is, until Trey's school found out. School officials turned Angela into the authorities. As a result, she was arrested and charged with 2 misdemeanor counts of child endangerment. Ironically, Minnesota has become the 22nd state to approve medical marijuana, and Trey's condition is covered under this provision. The law doesn't go into effect until July of 2015, however, so Angela will still be charged and could face up to 2 years in prison. The family isn't wealthy by any means, so they have set up a GoFundMe page to raise funds for her legal defense. This week marked the official 2-year anniversary of legal marijuana in Washington and Colorado. While Colorado, being in the Mountain Time Zone, passed legalization first by about 2 hours, it was on December 6, 2012 that Washington's I-502 went into effect, an anniversary we passed last Saturday. Colorado's Governor John Hickenlooper signed Amendment 64 into the Colorado Constitution on December 10, 2012, 2 years ago yesterday. Colorado began its legal marijuana market in January of this year, and Washington State followed with sales beginning in July. Both states have reaped millions of dollars in tax revenues, both states continue to see traffic fatalities decline, and both states report consistent marijuana use rates among adults and lower use rates among teenagers. Meteorologists report that over the past 2 years, the sky has remained firmly in place. This has been your 420 Radio News for Thursday, December 11th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org.
There's so much I worry about as a mom. Stephen Harper thinks that organized crime should continue to profit from marijuana prohibition. Imagine regulating marijuana like alcohol and cigarettes with a strong and clear educational message, making it more difficult for my kids and your kids to access. Drug dealers don't ask for ID. Stephen Harper does not have the kind of judgment we need to protect our children, authorized by the Normal Women's Alliance of Canada.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
Welcome back, everyone. 13 after the hour. Time for us to go behind the headlines as the Justice Department has okayed Native American marijuana legalization. The federal government just told sovereign Native American tribal nations they are free to legalize marijuana possession, cultivation, and sales if they decide to. The 2013 Cole Memorandum is the document outlining the 8 federal priorities in federal law enforcement regarding marijuana. This memo is considered to be the federal government's acceptance of marijuana legalization playing out in Washington, Colorado, Oregon, and Alaska. So long as those states abide by the memo's 8 priorities, the feds won't prosecute. Although the feds always reserve the right to bust anyone at any time for marijuana. But does the Cole memo apply to the 326 federally recognized sovereign Indian nations? In a word, yes. Monty Wilkinson is the executive director of the Executive Office for the United States Attorneys, and he sent a memo to all U.S. attorneys and tribal liaisons on October 28th, but it is just now being made public. In this Wilkinson memo, entitled Policy Statement Regarding Marijuana Issues in Indian Country, Wilkinson explained that, quote, "The 8 priorities in the Cole Memorandum will guide United States attorneys' marijuana enforcement efforts in Indian country, including in the event that sovereign Indian nations seek to legalize the cultivation or use of marijuana in Indian country." End quote. Now, many people live within driving distance of a so-called Indian casino, where tribes have taken advantage of their sovereignty to prosper from gambling on their lands. Tribes also profit from sales of prohibited fireworks and untaxed cigarette sales. Could marijuana be the next item that tribes sell to non-Indians who ban it in their own state? Well, Project Sam's Kevin Sabet thinks so. The anti-legalization lecturer warned U.S. News & World Report, quote, "A situation is quickly forming where people living in states who do not want legalization will in fact be living 10 minutes away from a marijuana store," end quote. Yes, Kevin Sabet believes the state marijuana prohibition should overrule a tribe's legalization, but he also believes the federal marijuana prohibition should overrule state legalization, so at least he's consistent. And the idea that all of the reservations are suddenly going to sprout pot shops is a little far-fetched. Tribes vary in their politics as much as the states do. In Washington, for example, the state has legalized marijuana, but the Yakima tribe wants to ban all marijuana industry within the bounds of the Yakima Nation, which comprises 1.2 million acres in South Central Washington. Now, while Kevin Sabet has little concern for tribal sovereignty, he has plenty of concern for tribal alcoholism. Sabet told the LA Times, quote, "Native Americans and their families suffer disproportionately from addiction compared to other groups. The last thing they want is another commercialized industry that targets them for greater use," end quote. So, even if Native American people vote for legalization, Kevin Sabet knows it's not what they want. Now, Mason Tvert from the Marijuana Policy Project put Kevin Sabet's concern for the plight of the tribal addict into some perspective. Tvert told U.S. News & World Report, quote, "Studies have consistently found above average rates of alcohol abuse and related problems among Native American communities, so it would be incredibly beneficial to provide adults with a safer recreational alternative," end quote. And tribal marijuana sales may also be cheaper recreational alternatives as well, as their sales may not be subject to the state excise and sales taxes that they put on pot in Colorado and Washington, just like the cigarette taxes they avoid on reservation lands now. U.S. attorney from Oregon, Amanda Marshall, told ABC News that there's already one tribe in Washington state, another tribe in California, interested in marijuana legalization. Have yet to see how that turns out, but I know if some Washington tribes start wanting to get into the marijuana business and don't have to pay a 25% tax at all three levels of production, they will greatly undercut the legal marijuana market in the I-502 realm. This is a good development for those of us in marijuana policy, because the opening of any Native American marijuana retail will have to be taxed less than what it is taxed at the state level. And this will provide another pressure for these states to not overtax the marijuana as they develop their regulations. This is something that could have many effects here in the state of Oregon, where we have a number of recognized tribes and tribal lands. And if they're able to avoid even the $35 per ounce cultivation tax, and if they're also allowed to interface with the other parts of the marijuana cultivation and commerce, they could undercut other growers by not having to pay that tax. I know many people will be paying attention to this to see how this might develop in the tribal lands. And one other comment about this, as Kevin Sabet seems to have such this concern about the rates of alcohol abuse and how big alcohol is marketing and taking advantage of Native American people, I wonder what he would have to say about the town of White Clay, Nebraska, where Nebraska officials have allowed 4 beer stores in a town of 10 people because it's located on the border of Nebraska and South Dakota and right against the tribal lands of the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, which is a dry reservation. They have prohibited alcohol. So, of course, all of the residents of the reservation cross the state line into Nebraska, into White Clay, where these 4 beer stores in a town of 10 people sell 10,000 cans of beer per day. 10,000 cans of beer per day. And the state makes hundreds of thousands of dollars in alcohol tax money from that. Why are the prohibitionists like Kevin Sabet so entranced with dealing with marijuana's legalization instead of trying to halt the over-commercialization of alcohol in this country.
Well, la-dee frickin' da!
Well, I can tell you why. It's because a bully always picks on somebody that he can beat. Why would Kevin Sabet want to pick on big alcohol? They've got lobbyists. They've got senators. They've got representatives. They got money. Nah, he wants to pick on the newly emerging marijuana because it's an easier fight. Or so he thinks. I say he's got another think coming. Happy 420, Denver. We're back in less than 90 seconds. Stick around.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz. 420radio.org is proud to replay Weed Porn Daily with Oscar Diaz from Florida. Weed Porn Daily is dedicated to bringing you a cornucopia of content to make your sober time harder and your high time funnier. Catch the replays at 12 Pacific on Mondays on 420radio.org. Hey, tokers and tokettes, Radical Russ here for the Canador, a practical solution to keep herbs from drying. The Canador is the perfect airtight storage system for your fine herbs. From the half-inch thick walnut and cherry wood construction, clear-top perforated jars for storage, and the humidity bead system that keeps your herbs at a perfect 65% relative humidity. I keep all my herbs in the Canador, and you should too. Check out Canador.com for more information. Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Oh, welcome back, everyone. 22 and a half after the hour, and every year I make an update to a map that I've been doing for probably since about 2008. I call it the Marijuana States of America, and the 2014 edition is just about ready to be released to the public. You may have seen it on my feed. Here is the 2013 edition, and you may have seen it with all the icons for the different and the different colors for legalization. I have made quite a bit of updates to this map, and it's got more information on it than ever before. And over the next few days, I'm going to show you some of the data sources that I use to find this information. Of course, sources like Normal, Marijuana Policy Project, Drug Policy Alliance are invaluable, but there are a few sources out there that are outside of the marijuana media that also provide us a lot of information. And the one I want to take a look at today is NCSL. You can find them at ncsl.org. It's the National Conference of State Legislatures. And it gives us a rundown of what's going on within the 50 states of America with respect to their legislative priorities. And they have an entire section devoted here. And I found this just through Google, but you can also find it through their research list. And through research, they have a list of many different topics that you can look through. The problem is trying to find it within that list because they don't have a specific marijuana topic. You might have to use the little search box up there in the header to find what you're looking for. But I was looking for which states have industrial hemp, because that new Cromnibus bill has a protection for all of the states that have passed not just hemp legalization, but hemp research proposals, which is slightly different. Wanted to find out what the difference was and how many total states there were. And fortunately, this article from September of 2014 at ncsl.org gives us that information. State industrial hemp statutes. And it explains how the 2014 Farm Bill contained an amendment in it that would allow institutions of higher education and state departments of agriculture to grow or cultivate industrial hemp. And the list of those states that will match the provisions of the 2014 Farm Bill now total 19 states. That includes California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Maine, Montana, Nebraska, New Hampshire, North Dakota, Oregon, South Carolina, Tennessee, Utah, Vermont, and West Virginia. 19 states that have laws for hemp pilot study and research. Now, Washington State's not listed there, and I think it probably should be because I believe I-502 does authorize for the production of industrial hemp. But we can say for certain at least 19 states have explicit language that authorizes industrial hemp. Of these 19 states, there are 8 of them, California, Colorado, Maine, Montana, North Dakota, Oregon, Vermont, and West Virginia, that have hemp resolutions and laws to promote growth and marketing of industrial hemp. So 8 of the 19 states go beyond mere research and promote the commerce in industrial hemp. Current state policies include defining industrial hemp based on its THC percentage, usually less than 0.3%, authorize the growing of processing of industrial hemp, state licensing of hemp growers, promoting research and development of markets for hemp, excluding hemp from the definition of a controlled substance, and establishing defenses to criminal prosecutions for the production of hemp. More details on all the statutes can be found here with links to the actual state language, California, Colorado, and so forth. So all the detail you might ever want on industrial hemp in this nation can be found here at ncsl.org, a very nice list. And we'll post that list here in our chat room if you'd like to go to it directly. Another list that they have at NCSL that's quite interesting to me is their drug testing for welfare recipients and public assistance. This one was updated just a month ago and lists out the states that are trying to pass laws with respect to requiring positive or negative drug tests from people applying for welfare benefits, whether it be food stamps or temporary assistance and so forth. Now, the 11th Circuit recently declared unconstitutional Florida's attempt to drug test all recipients for welfare. And to get around that unconstitutionality, the states so far have been embarking on plans to have testing of people through quizzes to find whether or not there's reasonable suspicion to then test them. And they believe that will be constitutional.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the Ustream video app for Android and iPhone. Go to rad-r.us/420Ustream or just click the Ustream app icon for Android or iPhone below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. Are you a hypocrite? If you live a closeted cannabis lifestyle, you are. Read about 7 people living a closeted cannabis lifestyle who are on the verge of coming out in The Hypocrites by Mara K. Eaton. Available at areyouahypocrite.net. You can purchase the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, also available on iTunes. Check out Mara K. Eaton on Facebook as well. Learn more at areyouahypocrite.net. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life, conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult marijuana prohibition in our cannabis community chat.
Voice message.
Yeah, I'm afraid we're having difficulty getting a hold of our guest, Matthew Scott Kuhlhorn. He is a representative and the founder, I believe, of the Thrive Community and Youth Program. He's a certified drug prevention counselor who actually supports marijuana legalization. So I'm excited to get him on the line. Looks like he's trying to call me from another number right at the moment, so let me disconnect that. I don't know why he's trying to call me on the cell phone. Let's see if we can get him through the Skype again. Pardon us for this short break. Nope, no answer at this point. Still must be busy, so let's see what I can do in the meantime.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by. Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by. Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
At the tone.
All right, folks, still having some difficulty getting a hold of Matthew. I'm going to have to call him on the cell line, apparently, and see if we can't get him through that way. Take a little break here, and we'll be back on as soon as possible.
Leave a message, I'll get.
Dream a little dream of me. Say nighty night and kiss me. Just hold me tight and tell me you'll miss me while I'm alone and blue.
All right, let's go back to the phone. I think we've got a connection now. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, fantastic. Do you go by Matthew or Scott?
Matthew.
Oh, Matthew, fantastic. And is it Kuhlhorn or Kuhlhorn?
The first time was pretty good.
Kuhlhorn. Fantastic. And yeah. You're with Thrive Community and Youth. And I told the listeners a little bit about your background, being a prevention counselor involved in drug rehab. But also, I was intrigued because you reached out saying that you're fully in support of marijuana legalization. Tell me how you came to that and a little bit more about your background.
Sure. And I want to back up and just say that, you know, my work is in prevention primarily,
okay,
not so much on the rehab or the intervention aspect. My background is in experiential education, and for the last couple of years, I've been directing Gunnison County's Substance Abuse Prevention Project. So in that work, it gave me a really good aspect on various strategies that are implemented throughout communities, whether you're looking at the state or actual towns. Ultimately, you know, what I found is there really are no drug problems. Anybody that has a substance abuse or use issue has some underlying life problems that go along with that. And what I have seen in Gunnison County and in various places throughout the state of Colorado, since marijuana legalization, there has been an increase in honest conversation around marijuana specifically, but also other substances. And it's that honest conversation that can do a lot more for quote-unquote drug prevention than almost anything else can.
So is it fair to say that in this view, it's not really a drug problem so much as a symptom of something that's going on in life, and what could be a drug problem could be a problem with other compulsions or addictions as well?
Exactly. I mean, you have people that overdo it on sugar.
Yeah.
And it may not be the sugar itself. It's more of life stresses and how they learn how to cope with that stress.
So in your mind, then, legalization of marijuana, and you're calling from Colorado, I assume, has provided an opportunity for honest discussion where prohibition did not.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Absolutely. There's been more parents coming up to me and saying, since legalization, I've had more honest conversations with my kids about marijuana and other risky behaviors. I mean, it's opened up the door for that conversation. And, you know, I'll tell you, when that honesty gets out there, it does a lot more benefits.
That's very good to hear. Now, so as far as legalization's effects, as a prevention counselor, from your point of view, is this making it now easier to prevent teenagers from getting involved with risky marijuana behaviors?
Well, you know, we're dealing with, as far as teenagers go, is, you know, they have, a few more years to go in their brain development, right?
Yeah.
So our brains develop till mid-20s. And up until that point, you know, whether you're looking at caffeine, alcohol, marijuana, or other drugs, anytime you put a substance on a developing brain, there's potential for adverse effects. Ultimately, the messaging and the strategies are still fairly similar, in the sense that we want to build up community that supports individuals and give individuals enough information and awareness so that they are consciously making choices, ideally in the right direction for themselves.
You know, it's good that we've legalized and we've opened up the possibility for more conversations, but if those conversations are still consisting of some of the messages we've heard in the past from drug prevention, you know, this is your brain on drugs, you know, fried eggs, all the terrible gateway rumors and such, if we still get the same information out, will it make much difference? Or is this now allowing us to, at least the folks on your side, to change the information that's coming out?
That's a great question, because there's colleagues of mine that are still rooted in that old school narrative. We still have prevention folks that are using fear tactics. And what I am seeing is this amazing opportunity to change the subject from prevention to community building. When we look at community building, you know, we're looking at other infrastructure pieces and other educational pieces that can go into communities and, you know, be presented to people that is honest. Anytime that we have, you know, the propensity to come from fear or, any of the old school pieces, you know, I look at that as a very righteous move. And I think that a lot of people have it in their minds that drug prevention is outdated in general.
Yeah.
And I'm just seeing this opportunity, and a lot of it is propelled by the marijuana legalization in a few states. There's just this opportunity to change that conversation, and let's get rid of drug prevention altogether, because a lot of it is outdated. A lot of it still is outdated.
Yeah, I mean, just really even with legalization in Colorado, the first round we heard from Colorado prevention people was the Don't Be a Lab Rat campaign with the big steel cages. And what was the first thing the kids did was smoke pot in one of the cages.
Exactly. I mean, that came out of our governor's office, and a couple million dollars went into that campaign. And what a waste of money.
Yeah. What would you like to see as far as an official campaign from the state with regard to teenagers and marijuana use?
What would I like to see? That's a great question.
Yeah, if you could make a commercial or a billboard or whatever, you know, something to snappy and quick that would get your main point across.
Oh, man. And it would definitely include, it's not about drugs, it's about life.
Yeah,
where do you want to go, kind of thing. You know, kind of tapping into individual values and honoring people as individual people would be a piece of that.
You know, this is, I'm really happy to hear from you, Matthew, because this is a really enlightened view of drug prevention and policy. You know, I of course, come from the marijuana legalization side, been working with Normal for years, but I always stress the fact that I'm a child of addiction. My dad was an alcoholic and a drug addict, and if it weren't for 12-step programs and detoxes and a lot of counseling and help, he'd probably be dead. So I'm not antipathetic toward drug rehab and the problems people can develop with substance abuse issues. I've just always been in opposition to the scaremongering and the fearmongering that comes along with that, when it could be so much better dealt with honesty and enlightenment. And that sounds to me like what you're trying to do.
That's exactly what we're pushing on. And you may know this already, regardless of the substance, you know, roughly 80% of the users of marijuana or alcohol are using these substances responsibly. There's going to be 20% of any users that tend to, let me just put it this way. A study came out from the Department of Revenue in Colorado, and it mirrors some other studies among other substances. But roughly 20% of marijuana consumers are consuming 80% of the product.
Mm-hmm.
So this 20-80 rule lives on. So there's certainly, you know, an ongoing need for the effective rehab and treatment programs, because there's going to be, you know, roughly this 20% of any substance that's going to get close to where abuse might happen. Nonetheless, the majority of users of alcohol and marijuana, cigarettes, caffeine, you know, are going to use it responsibly and still be productive adults that, you know, put a lot of their time and energy into society. And, you know, drug prevention is dated back into the days when marijuana was initially prohibited. And tech at that time, in the 1900s, there was a lot of fear around it. And, you know, I might say that would be rooted in racism.
I would agree.
Now we have an opportunity just to kind of open up the conversation, get farther away from addressing drug problems, because that's not truly effective anyway. And let's get more resources focused into community-based programs that truly do address life problems, and we'll see stronger communities, better economics, and more healthy people in general.
That's wonderful to hear. We're speaking with Matthew Scott Kuhlhorn from Thrive Community and Youth. And before we forget, do you have some Facebooks or websites people could look up to get more info?
Yep, everything can be found at Community Thrive. So that's our handle on Twitter, that's our handle on Facebook. And then communitythrive.org is our website.
Excellent. Now, you speak to the effect of building strong communities. And now in Washington and Colorado, and soon in Alaska and Oregon, pot shops and growers will be a part of these communities. Yet a lot of communities rebel against that. They want to ban them. They want to push them out and give them no voice at the table. How would you see an effective community building work in a place with legal marijuana and legal marijuana businesses that might want to contribute it? For example, the grower up in Washington State had a pot auction, wanted to give away $14,000 to the local school, and they rejected it, despite the fact that the local school gets money from lottery, gets money from alcohol tax. I mean, it made no sense to me.
Well, I don't see marijuana legalization being about marijuana necessarily. It's, to me, more of a culture shift, and culture shift takes time. So you're going to have various communities and pockets that are going to be more conservative than others. They're going to take more time for this culture shift and change in perspective to happen. Locally, what I've seen, you know, when I was directing our county's substance abuse prevention project, I very quickly reached out to the marijuana businesses that were setting up shops in our area and brought them to our table with open arms. And what they were able to do was share their perspectives and share information that then got into the community. And all of a sudden, things like dabs and chatter and the edibles and the various aspects that tend to make it in media as being sensational, scary stuff weren't so sensational and scary. People understood it better. people understood the culture that came with that. And through that was just a little bit of opening, but also a realization that everybody's interests are pretty much the same. When you get down to the common interest of youth, everybody comes to the table and says, yes, we care about the health of our youth. And when you start at that common interest, then you can implement things within a community that really supports youth, regardless of whether marijuana is legal or not.
Mm. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that, because one of the talking points we hear from some people on the anti-legalization side is that we're somehow trying to create this big marijuana that wants to market and recruit children. And that's the farthest right. thing from anybody who I know who's in the marijuana business that wants to attract children.
Right. Yeah, I have yet to meet that person, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole piece around big corporate entities, that's always been there. You know, that was one of the pieces that propelled alcohol prohibition, was all of a sudden this huge corporate entity was kind of taking over our minds and our wallets kind of thing. And, you know, that's part of living in America or a capitalistic society. So that's going to be, regardless of the industry, present.
Mm, well put. All right. Matthew Scott Kuhlhorn from Thrive Community and Youth. You can find him at Community Thrive on the internet, on Facebook, on the social media. I think I got that right, didn't I?
Yep.
Community Thrive. All right. I'm excited about this. The idea that a younger generation of prevention specialists, of health professionals, are going to come alive in this legalization world with some sense and, mm-hmm. and want to bring us to the table and come up with solutions we can all work with. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. And any last words for our audience?
Radical Russ, I really appreciate the time. And, you know, for your audience, I would just say, if you want to learn more or get involved with Community Thrive and kind of this change in perspective, just stop by the website, communitythrive.org.
Fantastic. Matthew, thank you for being on the show today, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you. Enjoy the day.
All right. And I will. It's a beautiful day in Portland, Oregon today. We actually saw this big yellow glowing disc in the sky. I've heard rumors of it. They call it sun. Oh, boy. Some sunshine shining on me today. It's really nice talking to Matthew there from Thrive Community and Youth. Yet another way the Kevin Sabets in the world are dinosaurs slowly going extinct. Let's see if we can speed that up a bit. Stay tuned. We got the anti-drug public service announcement of the day, followed by a radical rant on the Cromnibus bill. It will embiggen all of us. Right back after this.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio. In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Wait, you're like that. My head, you know, we had a chat with everyone.
Hey, Jill, how are you? Everything's absolutely amazing. I haven't seen you for ages. I haven't seen you last week. I mean,
you're not invited.
I know you. What's your name?
Oh, don't tell me that. I'll make you
What are you laughing at? A bit stressed, a little bit panicky. You look a bit panicky, look a bit scary.
What's your name?
The more you mess with cannabis, the more it can mess with your mind. To find out more, talk to Frank.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to The Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, firedublawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email firedublawyer@gmail.com.
Handle the truth.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
You have offended my family.
Hey, this is great, man.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
I know nothing.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
We don't need no stinking budget.
Homosexuality.
How in the century you have slurred the meaning of the words we, the people.
Be warned, this is not your mother's marijuana.
You could ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
Congress will block DC legalization, but it will protect medical marijuana. Or maybe not. We shall see. The U.S. House of Representatives is working up to the last minute today to pass the $1 trillion spending bill that keeps the government running. They've been calling it the Cromnibus Bill. I don't know what that means. I know what an omnibus bill is. That's like you put a bunch of stuff into one bill, it's an omnibus. I don't know what a Cromnibus Bill is. It sounds discromulent to me. It embiggens no one. Cromulent. Is Lisa Simpson writing these things? What the hell? Anyway, of course, they're talking about shutting down the government if this doesn't pass. And that's nothing new. We've had these government shutdowns in the past. But what is new is how much legalized weed, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp are involved. So first the bad news. Congress may block DC legalization. And the negotiations went between Barbara Mikulski on the Democratic side in the House and this Frank Rogers, is that his name? I think I got the name right. Where's that fella's name? Anyway, Hal Roger. That's his name, Hal Roger. Hal Roger on the Republican side, who's the chairman of the committee, and then Barbara Mikulski is the ranking member, right? So they got to negotiate what's going to get in, what's going to go out. And Roger was going to stuff in all this stuff that not only went against DC's legalization bill, but also would have attacked DC's medical marijuana and DC's decriminalization. And so the negotiation on Mikulski's side was, all right, we'll give on this legalization thing. And what it is, well, of course, you remember that Washington, D.C. passed legalization, right? 70.1% that they passed it. And it, not just possession of an ounce, it's a possession of 2 ounces. Possession of 2 ounces and cultivation of 3 marijuana plants. And no sales, no pot shops. Although D.C. does want to do that, but that's a whole nother story. What the people passed was just what they call grow and give legalization, right? And so whether or not this law passed by 70% of the people becomes a reality depends on the definition of the word enact. Really? Word parsing and marijuana? Has anyone seen Bill Clinton lately? Look, D.C. citizens can pass initiatives. That's, you know, no question about that. But what they pass is still subject to the rule of Congress, which has final approval over D.C.'s laws and D.C.'s budgets. Every law passed in D.C. since the 1973 Home Rule Act was passed, every law they pass is subject to a 30-day review by Congress. Now, Congress, by a joint resolution, and I mean, you know, the House and the Senate concur, although the other meaning sounds a lot more fun. If by joint resolution the Congress disapproves the law and the president signs the disapproval within those 30 days, the law is overturned. Now, Representative Andy Harris is a Maryland Republican. He's the kind of guy who says, quote, marijuana is a gateway drug of addiction to other drugs, end quote. He added an amendment to the spending bill that forbids D.C. from using any of its funds to enact the legalization law. The big question is, when is a D.C. law enacted? D.C.'s delegate, Eleanor Holmes Norton, a delegate, by the way, is like a congressperson but doesn't get to vote, right? Eleanor Holmes Norton argues that the people of D.C. enacted Initiative 71 by voting for it. As soon as they voted for it, it's enacted, right? The minute it was passed, it's like, hey, people have the right to 2 ounces and 3 plants, right? The 30-day legislative review period is there for Congress to, well, unenact a law, right? The default is that the law goes into effect. If Congress does nothing in 30 days, or even if they do issue a resolution against it, but the president doesn't sign it in 30 days, the law stands, so it must already be enacted, right? In fact, the D.C. Home Rule Law says that if the Congress passes this joint resolution and the president signs it, the law is repealed. You can't repeal a law that hasn't been enacted, right? Well, wrong, according to Representative Harris. He says, quote, I think enactment has a clear legal meaning, and D.C. legalization clearly has not been enacted, end quote. All right, so this guy favors an interpretation that says that if 70% of the voters approve of something, well, that just merely allows Congress to decide if it should matter. But here's the other thing. When we're talking about how this works, it's a spending bill, right? They're not banning D.C. from legalizing or enacting legalization so much as they're banning D.C. from spending any money from legalizing, from enacting this legalization. So what exactly would they be spending the money on, right? Not arresting people, not harassing people, not eradicating plants doesn't cost anything. They're not doing something that doesn't cost anything. The cost we're talking about here, people, is the cost of the ink it would take to print the law. The cost of the electrons it would take to file it on the website. The cost of the second of salary you would have to pay an official to go thumbs up. That's the cost we're talking about. I even asked, it's like, hey, what if we did some crowdfunding to pay for all the printing? And we volunteered to walk the bill from the printing office to the Capitol Hill. Would that be okay? No, I was told, because even the second it takes a federal official to pick it up from you or to give you the thumbs up to do it comes out of their salary. And for that, oh, I don't know, $2.50 for their 1 second of salary. I'm guessing. I have no idea. Right? God, I hope it's not that high. But still, for that 1 second of salary, that's what the bill would ban. Amazing, isn't it? Now the good news. The Congress may protect medical marijuana and industrial hemp states. For years, we've been trying to pass this Rohrabacher Amendment, states' rights to medical marijuana. Now it's been put into the Cromnibus Bill and would protect any state that has a regulatory system for industrial hemp or medical marijuana, including even those CBD states. So overall, this might be a good thing. D.C. has $25 decrim tickets anyway, and the word enact is for sure to go to court and be battled over. 23 medical states, 11 CBD states, and 19 hemp states would be protected from the feds, but we may not get to find out anyway. Because aside from all this battle over the marijuana, Democrats now are pissed off about the addition of a little gift written by Citibank, the big Wall Street bank that helped crash the economy in 2008, to give the big banks the power to do exactly what it was they did in 2006 and 07 to crash the economy again. And that might cause enough Democrats to not vote for this thing to not pass at all. That would shut down the entire federal government.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
Of course, that includes the DEA, so that might be okay.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
That's all the time we got for Hour 1. Stay tuned for Hour 2. Toker Talk Radio is next. For everyone here at 420 Radio, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.